It says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." I would like to invite those who can to kneel with me as we pray in this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to come to worship you in this morning. We want to invite you and your Holy Spirit to be with us as we worship your name. Be with Pastor Don as he speaks your word. Help us to hear him and open our hearts that we may understand the message that you have for us. We want to pray for your church, for each and every member, friends and families, and everyone who's in here this morning and those who couldn't come for any reason. We just ask for your blessings for them. We also want to pray for the people who have been affected by the devastating fires in Maui. May you be with them, bless them, reach them, O Lord, and just show them that you are with them and that you love them as well. Bless us in this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Renee, we have a special gift for you up here front. I'll give it to you right after church. A special gift. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of goodies in there. You'll like it. And I need to apologize to Renee a little bit. I held her down the water a little bit longer than usual. But the problem was she was trying to float, and I want to make sure I got her down. But it was great. Praise God. All right. Wonderful. The word of life, 1 John, and the first four verses. That's all we're going to look at. And I just want to tell you ahead of time, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So all the other apostles were dead. John only remains the last living apostle and close friend of Jesus. The aged apostle was living in Ephesus. Unfortunately, there was a group of what we would call pseudo-Christians living in Ephesus also that was just creating havoc and confusion in Ephesus. So John sends a letter to these churches in the province of Asia, a letter which starts out in 1 John. The letter was actually written about A.D. 90, roughly, 60 years after Jesus' crucifixion, and perhaps 25 years after Paul and Peter's deaths. Remember, John was one of the three disciples close to Jesus. Matter of fact, John even says of himself, he says, that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, of course, he loved them all. But John seemed to have that intimate touch, that intimate closeness to Jesus like nobody else had. He was the youngest of the disciples, and he had a greater trust, with Jesus. Jesus also entrusted his mother to John's care. And in A.D. 70, before this letter was written, the Roman armies actually went in and demolished Jerusalem. And after crushing a Jewish revolt, and the Christians all fled, and John, he goes to Ephesus. John is quite old when he writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And even though the letter was intended for those churches in Ephesus, it's also intended for you and me today. It's very applicable to the way we think and what we deal with constantly. So, you know, as well as myself, it's written for all Christians, not just this church, but all Christians, to try and say and get our minds straight about who Jesus is. There's a lot of false teaching going on. A lot of false teaching going on. And we have some even today. You have to admit, we have some today. And so there's messages that we keep trying to help others look at in Christianity. You know, for instance, we know these false teachings like the spirit and the body are separate entities. But we also know from scriptures that they're one, not separate entities. We have the Sabbath Sunday issue. We have the dead and the not dead issue. We have the secret rapture. So amongst Christianity, we have some confusions too. We're not any different than Ephesus. There is confusion amongst the Christians in Ephesus. Once saved, always saved. So it's interesting, in Ephesus, persecution was not the main threat, not the main irritant that was taking place in Christianity. The real major threat in Ephesus was actually false teachings. That's what was going on in Ephesus. False teachings, heresies. There was the amalgamation, if you please, of different religions, cultures, schools of thought. The Roman province of Asia was a culture, what we would call a melting pot. Many, many individuals and different thoughts and different religions flocked to Asia Minor. And so you can see this melting pot, roads, many roads to what was supposed to be truth. A man took the one he liked and maybe a pinch of Plato, a dash of Persian dualism, of course, the little one's ancestral cult or tradition's sake. It was in this environment that the Jews and the Christians were considered narrow-minded because they only believed in one God. Narrow-minded, can you imagine that? Most people acknowledged hundreds and favored several deities. There were groups who actually mixed Judaism with Plato, astrology, and secret revelation. Therefore, it was inevitable that someone would try to add Christianity to a Greek-Persian occult casserole. Just mix it all up and challenge the apostles' teachings. So think about the different held beliefs you've heard concerning Jesus even today. You know, many people believe that Jesus was a good moral teacher. Other people think Jesus was just a little baby in Bethlehem. That's all they celebrate, once a year. Many people picture Jesus as someone hanging on the cross, wearing a crown of thorns. That's when they celebrate. That's Christianity total of them. Some people admit that Jesus walked on earth, but they say that he was merely a man. Some people are even so hard-hearted as to say that Jesus never existed. So we have all kinds of beliefs around us. We're not much different than Ephesus back in AD 90. So a little less than 2,000 years ago, when the Apostle John lived, there were these varying beliefs concerning Jesus. False teachings taught that Jesus could not have a physical body because the physical and the mental, the physical was evil. So he couldn't have a physical body. In fact, around 50 years ago or less, around 50 years or less after Jesus rose from the dead, there was some question whether Jesus even walked on this earth. 50 years after he died. It was on the heel of these heresies and other misunderstandings that Jesus, that John wrote this letter to the followers of Jesus. The letter that we've come to know is 1 John. And Please remember, 1 John is not only a message for the church and the Christians long ago. It is actually a message for you and me. You and me today. So let's take a look at it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. It's interesting to me that John begins this letter very, very much like he began the Gospel of John. You know, the Gospel of John, it read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And so the one that John is talking about, John is going to talk about, was from the beginning. The beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of anything. This one existed before anything else existed. Can you fathom that? He was from the very, very, very beginning of what? Yeah, of what? It always puzzles my mind, you know. When did all this happen? How did it happen? I can't, you know, you start thinking about eternity and your mind goes physique. Berserk, I guess, is the right word. I can't go there. Eternity is beyond my comprehension, especially behind us. Eternity ahead, I can grasp that. You know, but behind me, no. But he was from the beginning, before anything else was. Before anything existed. John wants us to know this is where we start out. Right here, the one who existed was from the beginning. Very important. The one who existed was from the beginning. Verse 2. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. Now think about this. This is deeper than you think. Seems pretty simple, but it's pretty deep. John is saying this one who was before anything else was revealed to us. Was revealed to us. And we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. Yes, he was with the Father. And then he was revealed to us. The one was revealed. John says that this life that he calls the word of life was revealed. Was revealed. John and the other apostles saw it. They're eyewitnesses. He even says that they testified about it. And if you ever watched a court show, and you know that if you've been in court, you know that people are called sometimes to testify about what they saw. John is testifying about what he really saw with his own eyes. You might be told, tell the jury what you saw. John is testifying what he saw and what he heard about. He is telling you that this one was revealed to him. He's giving an eyewitness account. He's telling us what he saw with his own eyes. The one from the beginning. Jesus says, this one was with the Father. And now he's been revealed to us. Of course, us means John is talking about him and the disciples. Him and the disciples. They saw Jesus. Excuse me, they saw this one. He didn't know who he is yet. But they saw this one. They touched this one. Yeah. Can you remember something that was revealed to you or happened to you that you wanted to tell everybody? I mean, there's twice in my life that something was revealed to me, new, exciting, and fresh, and I wanted to go to the mountaintop and shout. I really did. The first one was when I first met Jesus. When I first met Jesus in here, I wanted the whole world to know. I couldn't understand. I could not understand why not everybody, why isn't everybody active Christians? Because of the one. Because of the one. The other time I wanted to go to the mountaintop is because an individual was revealed to me. Yeah. When I met her, I wanted to go to the mountaintop and shout again. It was exciting that she was revealed to me by her uncle. And by the way, I just have to say this, next weekend we won't be here. Ruth and I won't be here. We're going to go to the Milwaukee area. Her uncle passed away, 92 years old, if I remember correctly. And he's the one that gave me Bible study and brought me to the church. So we're going to go to his memorial next weekend. Some of you may know him, Luther Clendenin. He's been around the country a lot. He used to teach some stuff on astronomy, which is very interesting. So Ruth and I will be going to his memorial next weekend. But he's the one that gave me studies. He and I worked for the Forest Service and in the drafting room in the wintertime, and he was my supervisor, and he'd have me go to the back room, the blueprinting room, and make blueprinting copies of different maps. And then he'd come back there, and he'd start asking me questions, and I'd answer the questions. And preach it. He'd say something, and I'd ask him a question. And he'd say, he says, I got to get back to my desk. He said, come over to my house tonight, and let's look that one up. That's all it took. So I went to his house several nights, once or twice a week, and he studied the Bible with me. And I could see that I was going to become a Seventh-day Adventist. I could see that. I thought, oh, no. No, no. These guys go to church on the wrong day. Yeah. So you know what I did? I was a Baptist. And I went and I studied with the Catholic, Assembly of God, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Methodists. And the minute I learned something that wasn't in the scriptures, I said, oh, you gotta go somewhere else. And I could not figure out why there wasn't any theological false teachings in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I went to the mountaintop and shouted, why can't everybody else see this? And so that's what John's doing. He's shouting. He is excited. Jesus, the one, has been revealed to him. Yeah, can you remember somebody sometime who was revealed to you that made you excited? John wants to share with others that which was revealed to him. This was revealed to John, and John wants to reveal it to others. He can't hold it back. He's witnessed it. He's seen him. He has heard him, and he wants to reveal him to everybody. What else do we know about this? Verse 3. This one, he's talking about, this one, who is life itself, was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He is eternal life. Praise God. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us, John says. Yeah, the one who brings eternal life. The one who is with the Father brings eternal life. Well, how wonderful is that? I'll ask you again. How wonderful is that? He brings us eternal life. All right. Revealed to us. John wants others to experience it. It changed their lives. And John wants to pass this on to more people so that their lives can be changed too. Jesus revealed him. He wants to reveal Jesus to us. And everybody that would open his word. Verse 3. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. This one he's talking about. This one brings us into fellowship. Brings us into fellowship. John declares that they, the disciples, were experiencing a fellowship with one another and with God. Yes. And we must catch this. So often we think of fellowship, we think of potlucks and men's breakfast, you know, food. But this is not what John is talking about. John is talking about fellowship, intimate relationship with this one, a special relationship. Because this one, John and the disciples, had this special relationship with one another and with him and with God the Father. So this one, as we see him, as we hear of him, we'll develop fellowship and we'll have fellowship with him. And with one another. With one another. Do we have fellowship with one another? Forget the potluck. I'm talking about, do we really have a relationship with one another? If we have this one in our hearts, friends, we're all in relationship with one another. And if you're not in relationship with somebody, you have a burr in your saddle or in your boot, I challenge you, let this one be revealed to you, because you're lacking it. We should all be in relationship with one another because of this one. Of this one. John says in verse 3, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Sin brings death. Sin brings a judgment, as well as separation from God. And this one brings life and brings us to a special relationship with God. Isn't that interesting? Sin severs everything in relationship with God. But this one, John talks about, this one brings us back into relationship and fellowship with God the Father. This one. Get this. This one brings us into fellowship with God and into a special relationship with one another. Well, this one must be something. This one must be someone. This one is very special. We know that. Have you figured out who this one is yet, church? Yeah. Well, finally, John tells us in verse 4, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. This is simple. Four verses. Really, really simple. But powerful. Powerful. This one is Jesus. He is the one whom John has been talking about the entire time. This one is Jesus. Let's look at the whole passage again. 1 John 1. We proclaim to you this one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one whose life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so you may fully share our joy, may be full. This is Jesus. Jesus was from the beginning. Jesus even said that he was from the beginning. He said he existed long, long before the Old Testament hero, Abraham. In John 8:58, he says, "And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am." Jesus is timeless. Timeless. He's not a new concept. He's not a reinvention. He's not someone's imagination. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a myth. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is everything, friends. Everything. From the very beginning of the church and the Christian faith, it's all been based on Jesus. Jesus is the one whom God saw. Excuse me. Jesus is the one whom John saw. Jesus is the one whom John heard. Jesus is the one whom John touched. Touched. And John is saying in 1 John 1:1 that he and the other disciples saw, they heard, and they touched the one. They touched him. He's the real deal. He really walked on this earth. He really showed the path to God. He really gave his life on the cross. He really rose from the dead. He really ascended to heaven to be with God the Father. Jesus was revealed to humanity as a baby who would grow up to be a man, be baptized, sent into ministry, crucified, raised from the dead, demonstrating that he had power over death and sin. Amen? He's real. You don't mind me saying it. He's the real thing. He is the one. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who gives us fellowship with each other. Jesus is the one who gives us fellowship with God the Father. Jesus makes it possible for us to have a special relationship with God and a special relationship with one another. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If there's no fellowship between one another, then perhaps Jesus is lacking, because he brings us fellowship. John wanted to make sure that his reader knew this message. And he says, "We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." You have joy in your heart? I hope so. Because he's the one. He's the one. We will be filled with joy and know that others know about Jesus. The eternal life that he brings, the fellowship that is possible with God and with others through Jesus. The person whom John is speaking about is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the one. Amen. John is just getting started in this letter. First four verses. However, he wants to start off strongly about this one who is Jesus. He wants his readers to know that Jesus really lived. He wants his readers to know that Jesus really is the Son of God and that he really brings eternal life. That takes us to our bottom line today. Our bottom line is Jesus is real and he brings us eternal life. John wants us to encourage every Christian about this truth. He wants us to encourage those who we come in contact about this truth. He wants us to be faithful and to remain in this truth. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is real. He really brings eternal life. He has been since the beginning. He was revealed. He can bring us into fellowship with God, and he can bring us into fellowship with one another. It's about Jesus, friend. It's all about Jesus. As we get started going through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in this series, I challenge you this week in two areas. Two areas I challenge you. Number one, consider John's testimony in these first four verses. It's all about Jesus. John was saying to his readers, I have seen, I've heard, we have seen and heard. Now you come and see all about Jesus. Well, have you seen and heard about Jesus? Do you believe that he really was before all things? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that he brings you into fellowship with God? Do you really believe that he brings us into fellowship with one another? Consider John's testimony this week. Number two. Then declare what you yourself have experienced. John says in verse 2, we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. Have you declared God and what God has done in your life through the gospel of Jesus Christ? So this week, I challenge you, every one of us, declare to someone what your experience has been through Jesus. Do what John did. Tell us others about Jesus. At work, in the store, get little pop cards. Tell others about Jesus. Share Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that John is focusing on. And this wasn't John's first time declared that he'd seen and heard. Listen to the story. Just as a little review about John and Peter in Acts chapter 4, which tells when he's talking about the Jewish leaders and how the Jewish leaders reacted. It says, the members of the council were amazed, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. Ordinary? They're ordinary men with no special training, no theology degree, no doctor's degree, just ordinary people. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Wow. Do others recognize that we've been with Jesus? I have to ask myself that question. Do others recognize that I've been with Jesus? But since they could see the men who had been healed standing, the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed these miraculous signs, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone about Jesus' name again. So he called the apostles back and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything have seen and heard. Listen, John was absolutely changed by his experience with Jesus. He was changed by the one that he was trying to reveal to us. He wants us to know how we can be changed as well, so that we can not do anything other than reveal others about Jesus. We're designed by God to be in fellowship and with him and with one another. What that means is that we were created to have a special relationship with God. We were created to have a special relationship with one another. Yeah. And this is all possible because of the work and the life of Jesus. Have you been changed by Jesus? The one, I ask you again, have you been changed by the one who was from the beginning, Jesus? I invite you, if you've never done it, accept accept him as your personal Savior. Commit your life to him. If you haven't been baptized, like Renee, commit yourself. Be baptized and to walk with Jesus every day and reveal him to others. Let's pray. Father, so thankful for John's testimony about Jesus. Father, you have revealed him to us through the Word, your Word. And Father, help us now to reveal this one, Jesus, to others. We pray in Jesus' name.